Hello again, this is Pastor Robert Venable, inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes for Let's Talk About Jesus. We're talking about a wonderful, powerful, important subject today, and that's how to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back to this earth, and he's coming to bring a people home with him, and then he's coming back to rule and to reign. And we are so glad to be proclaiming a message of hope to a world that is seems to be losing this wonderful anticipation of future good that hope represents. In the Christian faith, hope is represented as the glad expectation of future good. And even in the negative events of the end times, the scripture said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head. That means grab hold of this hope, because your redemption draweth nigh. So we are told when times really get tough here on the earth, globally, not just personally, but globally, the conditions of our world and our societies of this world, when we see those end time conditions, we are to lift up our head, because our redemption is drawing nigh. The coming of the Lord is very, very soon. And I believe that with all of my heart today, that Jesus' coming is very, very soon. And we want everyone that hears this broadcast to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, get ready to open them. And we're going to go back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, the last part of verse 8. And nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? We talked about being watchful, and we talk about being faithful. So today we're going to talk about being faithful again in terms of being ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And before we begin this message, we want to say a word of welcome to any new listener that may be tuning in. We pray this broadcast will be a blessing to you. We would like to particularly thank those of you that are in the ministry for honoring us enough to listen to this broadcast. I'm sure you will listen with a critical ear, that we are biblically correct in what we're saying on this broadcast. And we appreciate your concern for truth. And we pray that we can be part of this great last day harvest, that we can link our arm in arm together to reap a harvest of souls before Jesus returns. The greatest gift that we can give him, for the greatest gift in of all, the gift of salvation, is to bring other souls into the kingdom, not just into our points of view, into our particular denominations, but into his kingdom. I pray that many people will know Christ that never attend our prayer group, our church, but they will come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. So the end of the gospel is not how many people you get in your building or your denomination or mine, but how many people are ready to meet the Lord. And so we want people to be ready for his coming, because folks, if you're ready for Jesus to come, you're ready to draw your last breath today. So we want to get right into the Word of God. Be watchful, the scripture said, for in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And today we read from Luke 18. I'm going to read it again. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And we define this. I want to say it again. This is not the faith that is represented here. Is not faith to have your body healed, faith to get a home on a hill in a gated community. By the way, we're going to live in a gated community forever when we get to heaven. Praise God. In that holy city with such wonderful gates of pearl. Praise God. But whether or not we have developed our faith to a amass material wealth. This is not what this is addressing. This is way beyond those things. As a matter of fact, so much in the Bible is way beyond those things. It doesn't mean that our life here is unimportant to God. In fact, the scripture said if we would seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things, all these lesser things would be added unto us. It doesn't mean they're not important. I need a home. You need a home. I need clothing. You need clothing. I need food. You need food. And the Father knows. Jesus taught that the Father knows what we have need of. But above all that, He wants His kingdom to be first in our life and His righteousness. And He said if those things are in place, in their proper place, all these other things shall be added unto you. God will see to the lesser things if we will let Him help us with these great priorities in our life. Amen. So we're going to talk about this word, shall I find faith on the earth? He's talking about this word rendered in this sentence, in this context, is fidelity. It is the word pistis in the Greek. It means fidelity. And it means faithfulness, much like in a marriage. In fact, exactly like in a marriage. So much of ancient Israel's, all of the addresses of the prophets to them had to do with God making a commitment, a love commitment to them, and them breaking their covenant and not appreciating that commitment. And the same thing in the New Testament. The Bible speaks of Jesus coming as a bridegroom for a bride. All those who are saved out of every kindred, tongue, and nation make up what the Scriptures call the bride of Jesus Christ. And we're going to sit down with Him at a great meal in heaven, and it's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we're talking about fidelity. We're talking about faithfulness to the one who has saved us. We're talking about faithfulness to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The Scripture said that we should earnestly contend for the faith in its original form, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, because it was delivered once and for all. We don't need an edited version of the gospel to fit our culture. We need the gospel as it was given. And we need to, instead of the culture reshaping the gospel, we need the gospel to reshape the culture. Hallelujah. If Christians alone would just begin to live, really live what the Bible teaches, what a witness we would have. God would set us in contrast to this world. Our joy would be full. Our peace would be unshakable. Praise God. And our witness would be enhanced because people would see how worthy our great King is in the way that we honor Him and serve Him. Amen. So we're talking about literally cleaving to God, hanging on to the faith, being true to Jesus Christ as our Savior. I want to read a scripture in terms of faithfulness today out of Acts chapter 11, verse 21 through 23. Listen to it carefully. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. I'm going to say that again. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. It's quite an extraordinary word, this word cleave in the Greek. It's proskoleo, and it means to glue, literally to glue. We might say to Velcro today in our modern society. It means to adhere, to join oneself. I love the amplified expression of this scripture. It said, he continuously exhorted, warned, urged and encouraged them all to cleave unto the Lord, remain faithful and devoted to the Lord with resolute and steady purpose of heart. The New International said he encouraged them to remain true. See, there's that word fidelity that we're talking about. Remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. A paraphrase says to stay close to God no matter what the cost. It's holding on to God and His Word and the faith with everything that's within you. It's earnestly contending for that. I want to read you this true account of someone who is representative of what it means, how desperately we're to hold to the truths of Scripture and to the God who saved us. So listen to this. On a computer flight from Portland, Maine, true story, to Boston, Henry Dempsey, the pilot, heard an unusual noise near the rear of the small aircraft. He turned the controls over to his co-pilot and went back to check it out. As he reached the tail section, the plane hit an air pocket, and Dempsey was tossed against the rear door. He quickly discovered the source of the mysterious noise. The rear door had not been properly latched prior to takeoff, and it flew open. He was instantly sucked out of the jet. The co-pilot, seeing the red light that indicated an open door, radioed the nearest airport, requesting permission to make an emergency landing. He reported that the pilot had fallen out of the plane, and he requested a helicopter search of that area of the ocean. After the plane landed, they found Henry Dempsey holding onto the outdoor ladder of the aircraft. Somehow he had caught the ladder, held on for 10 harrowing minutes as the plane flew 200 miles an hour at an altitude beginning with 4,000 feet, and then at landing kept his head from hitting the runway, which was a mere 12 inches away. It took airport personnel several minutes to pry Dempsey's fingers from the ladder after he had landed safely. Things in life may be turbulent, and you may not feel like holding on, but have you considered the alternative? It is real important today that we make a resolution in our heart to hang on, to cleave to God, to hold to the truths of the Bible, to stand fast in this day of such compromise and such shaking. One commentary on verse 23 that we read stated, the New Testament disciples did not assume that those who received the grace of God would automatically remain true to the Lord. For sin, the world, and Satan's temptations could persuade a new believer to turn from the way of salvation in Christ. The possibility of a backslidden heart is a sobering thought. Listen to the warning of Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. One scholar comments, the Holy Spirit has explicitly revealed that in the latter times there will be a falling away, both from a personal faith in Jesus Christ and from scriptural truth. The believer's protection against such deception involved utter loyalty to God and His inspired Word. I want to say that again. Utter loyalty to God and His inspired Word. You know, if you're a Christian and you're in church this coming Sunday, and your minister begins to bring forth the Word of God, you ought to get like a bird dog on point. Every focus of your life should be on that wonderful, life-giving Word that will inspire you to hold on to God like never before. And you hang on to that good Word that is brought from you from this good book, the Bible, because it is food for your soul. It gives your spiritual inner man that's been regenerated strength and resolve, hallelujah, how we need God's word and God's warnings and God's counsel living in this day. Amen. We need to beware of divided loyalties. We need to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Amen. We need to literally fill our hearts with the Word of God. And we need to flood our hearts with the love of God. And we need to love Him back. Praise God. Enough to make deep commitments unto Him. Unshakable resolve. We need to hold on to Jesus as tight as that man was holding on to that ladder on that aircraft. We need to hold on for dear life. Not that our grip on God is what's so important, but our commitment to the faith is vitally important. You know, you keep your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, he will never let go of you. And his grip on you is firm, and his grip on you is strong. But we need a heart commitment unto him and unto the faith. Amen? Someone said, if you find yourself loving any house more than God's house, any book more than God's word, any pleasure more than prayer, any person more than Christ, any place more than heaven, you'd better take warning. Satan's target is our heart. He knows if we do not love Christ with all our heart, we are susceptible to his devices. One commentary in the Full Life Study Bible, I like that. It says, the heart is the wellspring of desire and decision. Following God and knowing His ways involve a resolute decision to remain committed to Him, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. If we find that our hunger and thirst for God and His kingdom are declining, we should reevaluate our priorities. Honestly acknowledge our lukewarmness and earnestly pray for renewed desire for God in His favor. Failure to keep our hearts results in a departure from the path of safety and entrapment in a destructive snare. Oh, one paraphrase says, above all, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. The New Testament clearly says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Amen. So what we want to do is encourage Christians today to reevaluate our priorities and consider that we owe an allegiance to the Lamb. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus can't just be someone that we use when we're in trouble to get us out of trouble, or when we're in need to make sure our needs are met. He needs to be the Lord of our life. And the Word of God needs to be held in high esteem. You know what Job said? He said, I have esteemed Thy Word, O Lord, more than my necessary food. No wonder, in spite of his questions, in spite of all the things he did not understand, he was able to cleave to God. When push come to shove, he wouldn't deny the God who he didn't always understand and in many occasions questioned, but he held on to God. Hallelujah. And because he held on to God, God restored the blessing to Job. Amen. And Job lived his life, amen, as an exemplary life of someone that it looked like circumstances would shake him loose from his resolve to trust his God. But he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I like what G. Campbell Morgan said, and I quote, if I am not enjoying this place of maintained fellowship with the Father and with Jesus Christ, when did I depart therefrom? To what point? To that point let me return, whether it be but an hour ago or years ago, and there let me surrender at whatever the cost. I believe there's a great call of the Holy Spirit today for Christians to honestly evaluate where we are in light of where we should be in our relationship to Christ, in our relationship to His Word, to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You may be a minister listening to this broadcast today, and the pressure is on to compromise the faith that you know has been delivered once and for all. And there may be portions of the Bible that you are hesitant to declare and to preach because your livelihood is at stake. Whether or not you have to be rooted up and placed in some other pastorate may be at stake. Your family are comfortable where they go to school. Your kids, your wife is active in the community. So many factors come in. But I'm telling you, my brother, my sister, on Sunday morning when you take the sacred book and you stand behind the sacred desk and you open the Holy Bible, and the Holy Spirit wants to express through you and through the Word what God has delivered to His church that is so vital in this last day, I challenge you to boldly proclaim, regardless of the cost. We really can't be cost conscious when it comes to declaring God's truth. It is so critical that we do that in these last days. Folks, losing sight of our first love for God and Christ is a very distinct danger, particularly in this day when men are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We must not remain in this dangerous, vulnerable state. We must remember from whence we are fallen. Repent and do our first works, as Jesus taught in the book of Revelation. The first love will be rekindled. The flame will begin to burn brightly again. Hallelujah. The scriptures declare that in the last days there will be a abounding lawlessness and abating love. Matthew chapter 24:12, Jesus said, "And because iniquity shall abound." I want to just read verse 11. It said, "Many false prophets shall go out into the earth and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound," verse 12, "the love of many shall wax cold." Sincere love for Christ results in single-hearted devotion to Him, purity of life, and love of the truth. This attitude of the heart is absolutely important. It is the breastplate of righteousness, a mighty barrier against the powerful forces without that seek to penetrate and pollute our hearts. How Satan trembles when we draw near to God. How easily we triumph over Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Folks, we need to hold on to God, and we need to hold on to His truth. If you're not a Christian today and you're listening to this encouraging counsel to Christians living in the end times, we want to encourage you to get a hold of God, to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to make your calling and election sure. Jesus is coming for a church and a bride that has made herself ready. "Be ye ready, for in an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh." And you know, folks, you could draw your last breath today. There's no guarantee that I will live to see tomorrow. The only guarantees I have are in what Christ has promised me, that if I do draw my last breath, that absent from this body means to be present with the Lord. And I'm talking about forever and ever, age without end. I do not want to be lost. I want to be saved. I want to cleave to God and the faith, because in this great salvation is my eternal hope. Praise God. I want to say something about this. Listen closely. Many mariners of old had the words "hold fast" tattooed on the fingers of their right and left hands. In their ignorance and superstitions, they believed it would help them to keep from being washed or blown overboard in a storm and drowned by the angry sea. Their life in a strong storm would depend on their ability to hold on. Now, isn't it good to know that it's not our ability to hold on, But the commitment of our hearts and our will to seek and to trust God, that will allow Him to hold on to us. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You keep your heart from falling out of love with Jesus, and if it has, praise God, do your first works. Get back in that prayer closet. Get back in the Word of God. Get back in church if you're one of the alumni of the church. Become active again. Become active in the fellowship of believers. You know, the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but even much more as you see the day approaching. You know, most people that are out of church right now, that are not keeping their hearts, most people right now, if you ask them, as Christians that have grown cold in their heart, you ask them, and they would tell you quickly, I believe we're living in the last days. I know a little bit about what the scriptures say. I can look around. I can read the periodicals. We can listen to the news broadcast, and things are lining up. Just like Jesus said, the conditions that would be in our culture, the conditions that would be in our world are met right now. There is absolutely nothing that has to happen before Jesus could return to this earth for His church, and then return to this earth to rule and to reign. Praise God. Oh, how we need to be among brethren. Exhort one another. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another daily. You know what exhort means there? It means to strongly encourage one another in right living. Praise God. Amen. There's a pull of this old world, and we all feel it. If we're honest, from the clergy to the person who greets people at the back door of the church, amen, we all feel the pull of this world system and the pull of our flesh. It's like a current that is pulling us, and we are upstream Christians in a downstream world. And that's okay. As long as you're struggling against that pull, it means that you are winning, because God will take up the battle with us. But He needs our heart commitment. And we need to just get back in church. We need to get back under the mighty Word of God that feeds our soul and makes it strong. We need to get back in love with Jesus Christ by focusing on that cross and hearing more and more. We used to sing that old hymn of the faith, tell me more, more about Jesus. More of His mercy, more of His grace, more of His love my soul can trace. Tell me more about Jesus. Folks, that's why the whole focus of this broadcast is about Jesus Christ. It's why the name of this broadcast is Let's Talk About Jesus. Jesus said, when I return to the earth, shall I find faith? Shall I find my people faithful? Shall I find fidelity? And I want to answer a resounding yes, Lord. You will find a church that hasn't bowed their knees to Baal. You will find a church that has a heart for you, appreciative heart, a loving heart for the one that bled and died and suffered that we might be saved. Jesus, we love you today. We want to love you even more. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it is my prayer today that you will open your heart right now. Take hold of Him. Take hold of this faith by repenting of your sins and saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me. Save me, that I might be prepared for that great day when you come again. Hallelujah. Amen. Folks, we love you. Our time is gone. I hope you'll come back next week. Spend a little bit of time with us that can be the most important time that you ever spend. Get in a good Bible teaching church this weekend. And come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.